San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFNB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
Everybody, my name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from La Vie. That's right, La Valencia Hotel with It's Your Money and Your Life. With 50,000 watts of power, we're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And the other co-host of the show is the main man of the hour, Richard Muzio, who is a CPA extraordinaire, a family office expert, and a marathon runner, and a member of Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable of San Diego. But he is not on mic right now. We have his daughter, Demi. Demi, can you say hello?
Hello, everyone.
And the reason Demi is here tonight is because we have, before we get into the show, we have the executive chef and the sommelier. Am I saying that right, Tammy?
That is perfect.
Of La Valencia Hotel here. So Tammy wants to talk about a huge Riesling event or events they're having this summer. So welcome, Tammy, and what can you tell us about the Riesling, other than
Hi.
It's delicious because I'm trying some right now.
Ooh, excellent. Thank you for having me. Well, the summer of Riesling started in 2008 in New York City. Richard Grieco from Hearth Restaurant was tired of no one ever drinking his Riesling, so he took all 30 of his by-the-glass placements and made them Riesling for the whole summer, and it's become a large promotional thing nationwide, top restaurants in San Francisco, New York, and now San Diego, where one of two places participating. And what is involved in Summer of Riesling is that we pour 4 to 5 Rieslings by the glass all summer. We pair them with Chef Daniel's food, and we take the opportunity to put Riesling in people's glasses and try it. It's not all sweet. Some sweet, some not, but it's all delicious, and the balance of the acidity in the fruit makes it perfect at the dinner table.
Now, there's some you've already had one Riesling event. Can you tell us about what else is coming up this summer at La Valencia regarding this wine?
This is the feather in our Summer of Riesling event cap. We're having a dinner with Rudy Wiest, who is one of the premier importers of German wine. He started in the late 70s and really brings the widest range of quality and value in German wine to the United States. I mean, there's literally only a couple other distributors that bring the range to us here in our restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And he's based in San Marcos, too.
And I see Tuesday, August 6th, you're having a special event with him, right?
Yes, Tuesday, August 6th, we're having a wine dinner. Chef Daniel's made a spectacular menu. It'll be 4 courses. It's not all Rieslings. We do have a Pinot Noir or a Spätburgunder that we're going to be pouring from Magnum, which is the double-sized bottle. For the second course with 3 other Rieslings, and it's just going to be delightful. The food pairing with the wine. Rudy chose all the wine pairings to go with the menu, which is really exciting. He's been doing it for much longer than I have, so they're really expert pairings.
It's phenomenal. And then tell us about the wine. When Café Leroux finally emerges and is unveiled, there's supposedly a huge wine collection there. Can you tell us? Well, not supposedly there will be, but can you give us some details on that?
Absolutely. The vault in Café Leroux will hold 300 bottles, and it'll be all glass. So you'll get to see everything. So I'm going to be bringing up some of our first growths. We have a number of first growths from the 80s and 90s, Chateau Lafite, Mouton, Margaux. We have Chateau de Cam. They will all be on display, in addition to very friendly bistro wines. Our wine by the glass program will be, it'll be drinkable and accessible to everybody. It'll be delicious things that present really great value, and they'll be geared towards Chef Daniel's menu.
And the wines on display are valued at, like I've heard, $250,000. Is that about right?
Oh, yeah, easily.
That'll be fantastic. That'll be right near the entrance to the hotel, ultimately, right?
Yes. When you walk in the new door, it'll be on the left-hand side where the entrance to the Whaling Bar used to be from the inside of the hotel.
Well, pretty exciting.
Yeah,
so,
exciting.
It's also exciting. We have Daniel here tonight. Daniel Barron. So how about we hand off your headset to him, get Daniel
Absolutely.
In here to talk about some of these terrific-looking entrees and food he's brought us. So, Daniel, how are you? Good evening.
I'm doing real well.
First off, congratulations on being chosen as the new executive chef of the hotel. I'm sure you had some stiff competition. Isn't that correct?
I would think so. It's a pretty coveted position here,
yeah.
And we're real happy with what we've gotten done so far, and I'm extremely excited about being here.
Outstanding. What you brought us looks really delicious, and the presentation is outstanding. Can you tell us what you've put on the table for us?
We brought you a couple items off of our summer menu. We just launched a new menu on Tuesday. Our first selection over here is some Gloria Tamay tomatoes with homemade burrata, some breakfast radishes, a little bit of Pedro Jimenez vinegar, and fresh pressed olive oil.
Wow. And all your produce, I'm assuming, is from the region here?
Yes. Gloria Tamay is a farm here in San Diego. The breakfast radishes are from here in San Diego. The lemon basil that's on it is from Fresh Origins in San Diego.
It's all about sustainable dining, huh? And delicious, right?
Yeah, we're supporting as many local farms as possible for
great
a couple
of
reasons, you know.
That's great to know. And then over here in this pot here, what did you bring us?
This is Laughing Bird shrimp with polenta and uni and piquillo pepper yogurt sauce with a little bit of sumé.
Wow, just outstanding, outstanding. So you've completely redone done a makeover on the menu here, or
yes, we've changed all last count 8 menus.
Wow,
here.
That is terrific. That is really great. So, well, anything else you'd like to tell us about what's going on here, food wise, at the hotel? What are some of your fun things you like to do or present?
We're getting ready to start doing tasting menus. Everything's exciting right now because everything's new. We're changing, you know, and evolving constantly. So, you know, next week could be totally different than this week. Mm-hmm. But we're really happy with what we've done so far, and we're just going to continue to work and grow and, you know, do the best we can to pay homage
just
to
just like the hotel. It's creative and innovative. So, Demi, what do you think of the salad? What did you have so far?
Oh, God, it was amazing.
Quite an interesting combination of flavors there, eh?
Oh, yeah, and I've had a lot of salads. It's probably one of the best ones I've ever had.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, after the break, I'm going to try it because I can't talk with my mouth full, so I'm not at home right now. But anyway, Daniel, thank you so much for being with us. We'll take a break right now, Justin, and we'll come back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life after this, and I'll get a chance to dig in on this. So thank you so much.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, pleasure. All right, we are back. Thank you, Justin. That was delicious. We're still munching away on this great shrimp and salad over here, but we've got a really terrific show lined up for you tonight. And actually, you've got to get out to see the Dr. Seuss collection at Legends Gallery, folks. It's there till August 4th, so please get out to do that. And tonight down in the lobby singing is Jonathan Courant. He's here a couple of Saturdays per month, singing some of the best music you've ever heard. And he'll be there, I guess, they start at 6 and go till 9 typically here at La Sala Lounge. But anyway, we've got a terrific show lined up. We have two stalwarts from the La Jolla Historical Society. Tonight we have the executive director. He's been a Marine. He's gone to the University of Leicester. Did I say that right?
Leicester.
University
of Leicester.
I didn't say it right then. Okay. Virginia Polytechnic Institute. He's been in Harvard Business School. On and on and on. Great credentials here. He's the executive director. His name is Mr. Heath Fox. So welcome, Heath. How are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm great. It's great to be here with you and your listeners. Hello to everyone.
That's great. That's great. And then also we have your historian and docent coordinator. She's a fixture in La Jolla here, lives in a historical section of La Jolla itself at Park Row. She's been a resident of La Jolla for nearly 50 years, and she's from the graduate of the University of Missouri School of Journalism, worked at the San Diego Union Tribune, probably was the Union or the Tribune back in the day. But anyway, Carol, good evening. Carol Alton, how are you? Good evening.
Fine, thank you. It's nice to be here and doing your show. Like you say, I've lived in La Jolla for a long time, and I've really seen a lot of changes here, and I really still enjoy the village a lot.
Yeah, it's quite a place. So, but anyway, Heath, maybe give us a little bit more on your background and how you wound up at the society and things along those lines. So,
sure. Well, after I retired from the Marine Corps, I kind of followed one of my passions of interest in arts and culture generally, and I ended up in Balboa Park for about a decade. I worked at two art museums there, the Museum of Photographic Arts and then the San Diego Museum of Art. And then I was Assistant Dean of Arts and Humanities at UCSD for a number of years. And then a year in Los Angeles with the Broad Art Foundation building a new museum in downtown L.A. and then landed the executive director position here at the La Jolla Historical Society, and it's been a great opportunity for me to be here.
Wow. Yeah, we wound up in a really nice part of the world.
Indeed.
So. And then, Carol, you've been here how long in San Diego and La Jolla? I mean, 50 years, right?
Yes, I've lived in La Jolla since 1965. I came to Southern California to work for the San Diego Union in 1964, having recently graduated from University of Missouri School of Journalism. And the newspaper was my first job. And I was living in Hillcrest, actually, to start out with, because it was nearer to the paper in downtown San Diego where I worked. And then one day I bought a car and I drove out to La Jolla and I said, oops, I think I'm moving out here.
And been here ever since. Now, when you started the paper, was the Union or did they have the two papers at the time? Or?
Oh, yes, they had the two papers at the time. The Union was the morning paper and the Sunday paper, and then the Tribune was the evening paper and did not publish on Sunday.
Hmm. And then you were there in what capacity? You were a film critic? Or
Not as film critic starting out. I was there as their rock and roll writer to start out with. And I also worked in what was then called the women's department. We didn't have lifestyle sections at that time. But I gravitated toward my work in the entertainment department and started...
You mean rock and roll, like rock and roll music you were covering?
Like that? Rock and roll music, because the paper at that time was quite conservative, and they didn't have a person covering any rock music because they thought it was rather nasty stuff.
What year did you start with Union?
I started with Union in 1964.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's when rock music.
When the good stuff was happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was controversial.
I argue that there hasn't been any good music since about 1969.
Well, I disagree with that, but... Anyway, I cover the Beatles concert in San Diego, the one and only one in the old stadium.
When was that?
In 65, I think it was. And then, you know, I covered all of the San Francisco bands and the first Janis Joplin concert in San Diego. And then all of the big rock bands that came a little bit later, the Rolling Stones and the heavy metal groups and stuff like that.
Oh, my gosh.
And you can still hear?
I can still hear. And I have to say, Jimi Hendrix dedicated a song to me one time.
Really?
Which one?
I don't remember. Neither
does he.
Neither does he.
Anyway, so Heath, tell us about some exciting things going on at the society and
sure.
things people that people in La Jolla and nearby would might like to know.
Well, there's a lot going on actually, and in our property is our most important building is Wisteria Cottage, and most people will remember that as John Cole's bookstore.
Oh yes,
and it was given to us by bequest a few years ago, and we started raising some money to rehabilitate the structure, which we are now under construction to do. Ione Steigler, a La Jolla architect, is our architect on the project, and we are historically restoring the exterior of the cottage appropriate to the periods of its development, and we are renovating the interior to expand our gallery space on the inside and to bring everything up to museum standards with regards to environmental controls and security and the like. So it's very exciting, and I think we'll be under construction until next spring if things go well, and we'll be reopened to the public with some exciting exhibitions.
Now, before the show, we were discussing some of the history of the ownership of the cottage, so maybe you could share some of that, because that was fascinating, I thought.
Sure. It was originally built, and very quickly, it was built in 1904. Just a couple years later, Virginia Scripps, who was Ellen Browning Scripps' half-sister, purchased the property. And it was basically a home or a rental cottage until the early 1940s. And then it became a school, an elementary school called the Balmer School. And it was the Balmer School until the early 1960s. And right before the school moved out to larger quarters, they changed their name to what we know today as La Jolla Country Day School. And then after that, it became a bookstore for a long period of time. At first, it was the Nexus Bookstore, and after a few years, then it became the Cole Bookstore, and it was that until 2005. But the property all along had been held within the Scripps family, and it passed by inheritance to Ellen Revelle, Roger Revelle's wife. Hmm. And then Ellen gave the property with three buildings on it, Wisteria being the most important. She gave the property to the Historical Society in 2008.
Well, that's great. So there'll be ultimately some exhibits that people could come in and see on a daily basis.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And
what are you going to debut with when all the construction's finished and your first exhibit? What, do you have plans yet, or is that
unknown?
We do.
One of the things we're doing at the Historical Society is we're starting to explore the history of the mid-century in La Jolla. Hmm. So the decades of the 1950s and the 1960s, which, you know, saw population growth, which saw the arrival of the university, the arrival of Salk and the research community, a very important couple of decades, and had a major effect on present-day La Jolla.
Mm-hmm.
So we're mid-century modernism in architecture arrived. So we're starting to explore this history, and it so happens that 2013-2014 is the 50th anniversary of the La Jolla Historical Society. So we were formed in 1963 and incorporated in 1964. So all that argues for a modernism show to begin with when we reopen. So we'll be looking at architects, artists, people who sold art in La Jolla, and the lifestyle attitude changes that took place, and all those aspects of modernism that characterized those decades. And I should say that before that, while we're under construction, this September, on September 21st, we are opening a collaborative exhibition at the Museum of Contemporary Art that traces the history of the building that is now the Museum of Contemporary Art and the building that is now the Historical Society. So Ellen Browning Scripps' home was originally called South Moulton Villa, and after she passed, it became an art center and evolved into
the museum.
The museum. It's always been a place for the display of art, whereas and it changed structurally. It was redesigned by Robert Mosier in 1959 and 60, and then again by Robert Venturi in the mid-90s to what you see now. And so that building had the same function but evolved architecturally. Wisteria Cottage had different functions but has pretty much stayed the same.
That's
so
great.
We'll trace that history of both of those buildings this exhibition.
Let me ask you, or Carol, you might know the answer, but the original La Jolla Playhouse, where was that located that Gregory Peck started? Was that where the Cove Theater originally was, or was that, do we know where that originally was offhand? Or?
No, it was, I think, the original productions were staged at La Jolla High School.
La Jolla High School, okay, wow. Well, you know, Gregory Peck brought all those stars and the cast parties. They were right down here in the Whalen Bar at the time.
And, of course, Raquel Welch was born here.
Ah, okay. But I'm looking on La Valencia's website, and he brought, you know, Charlton Heston here, and all. They just had so many big names come through here, and hopefully we can get into some of the history of La V.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of La V, I mean, we're sitting here in this beautiful building, the lovely La Valencia, live from La V. What role in terms of La Jolla's history has this building played?
I think it's played an iconic role. I mean, it was built by an architect named Reginald Johnson in 1926. At that time, it had 21 what were called apartments, which I would suppose we would call suites these days, and 12 single rooms. And in 1928, the owners commissioned Herbert Mann and Thomas Shepard to redo it. That's when it expanded to 125 rooms and opened in late 1928. And it has been a fixture ever since. And I should point out that the westernmost building of La Valencia originally opened as the Cabrillo Hotel in 1909 and operated for many years as that, and then in 1956 became part of the La V complex.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out, too, that the Cabrillo was actually designed by Irving Gill, who was probably the most important historic architect in La Jolla.
Well, he's got buildings all over the place.
He does.
Yeah.
Very important figure.
So, Justin, we're coming up on a break pretty soon, aren't we? So, how soon is that? It's coming up right now. So stay tuned, everybody. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with Live from La V. It's Your Money, Your Life after this. Hang on.
All right.
right, we are back with the second half of It's Your Money and Your Life, live from LaVie with Carol Olton and Heath Fox, both with the Historical Society of La Jolla Historical Society. So back to you, Heath. Where,
Joe, we're going to thank some sponsors first.
I'm sorry. We've got to thank our sponsors, and then we'll get back to
Joe has the attention span of about 17 seconds.
Well, I'm trying to get the door open. But anyway, back to you, Richard.
Thank you to lovely La Valencia. I just ended up eating during the break some Laughing Bird shrimp. Absolutely incredible. Chef Daniel Barron. Can't wait until Cafe La Rue opens. Going to be incredible. So thank you to La Valencia. Also, UBS, just down the street, Mr. Michael Caronta and Drew Freitas, thank you very much. We couldn't do it without you guys. Best estate planning attorney in town, Mr. Rich Gaines and Family Legacy Legal. Joel Gruskin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, they're going to be on late in August. Don Epic and Paul Polito, CPAs, thank you very much. Jason Kruger, our new daddy, with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company here in town. My dear friend Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited. I exchanged about 30 emails with him today on a Saturday. We never rest, helping businesses and business owners improve the value of their businesses. And just across the street, San Diego's best business bank with Mr. Sean Puckett and Mr. Steve Sefton. That would be Regents Bank. I believe they're going to be on in August as well. So we'll be featuring some of our sponsors in August. So thank you to everybody. Also, thanks again to Courtney Lauper, who maintains our lovely website at, Joe, that's a lead-in for you.
At iymoney.com. And folks, if you want to find out any information about our wonderful sponsors, who are great colleagues, professional colleagues of Richard, who has a history with them, they're not just sponsors we get out of the phone book. They're all great pros in what they do. But you go to iymoney.com, click on sponsors, and all their information is right there, contact information, bio, everything else. So, many years of working with them, right, Richard?
Yes, in some cases almost 30 years. I started in this business when I was very young.
Yeah, speaking of history. So anyway, sorry for jumping the gun about with Heath there, but let's get back to you, Heath, and talk about some other things with the society in the area.
Well, in the last segment, we talked about this exhibition that we're going to do in collaboration with the Museum of Contemporary Art that opens in September. It's called Scripts on Prospect, Evolution of Villa and Cottage. Some of the things that people will see in that exhibition are the original drawings that Irving Gill did for both of those homes.
Wow.
He worked for both Scripps sisters with those homes, and we're bringing those architectural drawings in, and some photographs from a couple of very interesting photographers that have lived and worked in La Jolla over time. One of those is a fellow named Leopold Hugo, and he was a Prussian immigrant. He went first to Texas and married a young woman there and then came to La Jolla. And he was in La Jolla from about 1907 till about 1917, came and opened a dry goods store, and very quickly got interested in photography and started taking pictures using the style which was important at that time called pictorialism. So it was about kind of manipulating the image as it was developed, that gave it a real soft edge and a very kind of romanticized type of look. And he took these pictures of various scenes in La Jolla. He made postcards out of them and sold them, and actually moved into that full time and closed the dry goods store. And in 1917, when the war started, there was a lot of pushback because of the fact he was of Prussian ancestry. He left to go to Pasadena. It was even worse there, so he ended up in Northern California until he died in 1933. So some of those postcards and pictures will be featured in this exhibition, as will some of the photographs of a fellow who came along later called Charles Snyder. And Charles Snyder was from New Jersey. He was born in 1916, so right when Hugo was working here, and he studied photography in New York in 1937, and after World War II came out here to La Jolla. And so in the 1950s and 1960s, he did commercial photography, he did photography for publication, and he captured some fascinating scenes of La Jolla, of the businesses, of the streets, he did a lot of fashion photography on location here in La Jolla. And so both of these photographers will be featured in our exhibition, and both have collection material represented in our archive at the Historical Society.
I love that. When you see a lot of the street scenes with the old cars and
absolutely
and days when you can get a parking
and
place.
And the fashion of the day.
Was Prospect Street paved back then? I'm curious. Does anybody know?
Prospect Street was paved in the 50s and 60s.
In the 50s and 60s.
Yeah,
okay.
Prospect Street actually was paved much earlier. It was paved about 1920-something. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say back in Hugo's time, it was probably still
a dirt street.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Hugo's studio, one of his main studios, was right on Prospect Street, right above that place we call The Dip. The gelato ice cream store is there now, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, we have a photograph from back in the old days when it was dirt. And along the dip, the rail on that dip, are a whole troop of cavalry horses that are tied up.
Any hitching posts left in town?
Well, there was an artist colony here at one time. Is anything ever going to happen with those green dilapidated buildings?
Red Roost and Red Rest. Yeah, the Red Roost and Red Rest are different from what we had as the Green Dragon Colony. Green Dragon Colony was located further north, and it was started by Anna Held in the 1890s. And she was originally a German lady from Frankfurt. But she had been on the London stage and was a very good friend of the British Shakespearean actress Ellen Terry. And Anna Held came to this country, and she became a kindergarten teacher. And then she came at the invitation of Ulysses S. Grant to San Diego. And Mr. Grant drove her out to La Jolla one day, and she decided she would buy a piece of property here. And it was where we have an area called Goldfish Point. And so she and her artist friends built about 12 houses there. They were all small beach cottage type things. And one of them was shaped like a boat. It was called the Ark. Mm-hmm. And the Green Dragon Colony basically is pretty much gone right now. We don't have any of those buildings left, really. What we do have left from that same era are two cottages that are down by the cove called the Red Roost and the Red Rest. They've been rather left in disrepair for many years. They were made historic sites in 1976 on both the National and City of San Diego registers. And they're currently in a family trust right now, and people are trying to hopefully figure out how they can be preserved and maintained in some condition or other.
Be a nice bed and breakfast or something, I would think, down there. But and so those artists that from that community, probably some famous ones there, and you have a lot of information at the Society about that as well, your files and
about
things?
About the Anna Held period when she would host salons at the Green Dragon, and the artistic activity in La Jolla today is descendant from those type of activities that she sponsored in the early times.
Huh. Interesting.
So, Carol, I know you wanted to talk about some famous La Jolla writers.
Well, first of all, I'd like to talk about Dr. Seuss. Everybody knows about Dr. Seuss, but everybody doesn't know that Dr. Seuss lived in La Jolla. He lived on one of the highest hillsides in La Jolla, starting in 1948. And he wrote all of those famous books about the Lorax and how the Grinch stole Christmas, etc., Cat in the Hat. And he lived here until...
Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah.
Not quite as good as what we had tonight.
Yeah.
And he lived here until his death in 1991. And his widow, Audrey Geisel, is still a very celebrated resident of La Jolla. But also, beyond Dr. Seuss, we also had many writers early on in La Jolla. We were mentioning the Green Dragon Colony. There was a group of lady poets over there that were quite active, and also including Ellen Mills, who was a poet and writer for the newspaper and for the San Diego Tribune as well. And she published a book of poetry, a comprised book of poetry in 1921, in which she wrote a poem called To La Jolla. I'm going to read just first verse of it. Begins, follow the clue of the good brown road, leading in gracious sweep and turn to the little town of the heart's desire, down by the sea where the sunsets burn. And, of course, the town of heart's desire that she was describing was her own La Jolla, which she lived in until her death here in the 1930s, I believe she died. Another writer was Walt Mason. He was a syndicated newspaper columnist. He lived here from 1921 to 1939 on Virginia Way. Max Miller, of course, is somewhat famous writer. He lived in La Jolla starting in 1927 until the late 1960s. His book was called, his most famous book was called I Cover the Waterfront, based on his newspaper experiences in San Diego covering the waterfront. And then he wrote, when he lived in La Jolla, a rather interesting book about the culture of La Jolla. It was called The Town with the Funny Name. And it was a book that explored a lot of the beach characters that lived around here. And also he made a rather satirical chapter about La Jolla's name, which confuses the J and the H.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and then the last writer I wanted to mention was Raymond Chandler, who wrote The Long Goodbye here and a lot of the mystery thrillers that have been made into fabulous movies with Humphrey Bogart and all kinds of actors. His last book, Playback, was to be a thriller, and he had he fictionalized La Jolla in the book as a town called Esmeralda, and that was published posthumously after he died, and somebody finished the writing of it.
Is it true he said that La Jolla was a nice place for old people and their parents when he was trying to be
that's
funny?
That's what Raymond Chandler said. I also picked up a quote from Raymond Chandler in which he said, La Jolla is the only place where I experienced any measure of solace.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he lived down in the Bird Rock area, didn't he?
No, he lived actually on Camino de la Costa.
Okay.
The house is still there. It's been remodeled on many occasions.
On the way to Bird Rock. But he must have spent some time at the Welling Bar and in this hotel himself.
I would imagine he spent maybe more time than he should have.
I was told he spent a lot of time at the Welling Bar.
Yes. And, of course, Dr. Seuss's famous booth.
Booth number three.
Yeah. We unveiled a nice plaque last year. But the hotel is going to honor Dr. Seuss and many notables who visited here in some capacity. So I'm not sure if it's a big plaque or what they have up their sleeves, but I'm sure it'll be magnificent.
All of your work will not go for naught. Yeah, trust me.
Yeah, well, they used to, Lava Lancha Lava, you used to have black and white photographs of some of the stars who were regulars here. And I always remember one of the first times I came into the lobby of the La Valencia, it was probably in the 1960s sometime, and I saw this beautiful picture of Greta Garbo, and I said, oh my goodness, I have to go and see Greta Garbo. I'd come by the hotel and go look at the picture.
Of course, you must have seen some notables here yourself, huh, Carol? Can anybody come to mind that really?
Not really. No. No.
Do the Kardashians count?
I'll tell you, the valets have a book, and
the stories they tell. Wow.
Well, they have a book of some of the notables who've been here. I mean, it's Oprah, it's Governor Schwarzenegger, it's Tom Hanks, it's Richard Gere. I mean, you go on and on and on. I gotta get my iPad busy on that. But we have to take a break right now, though.
Richard, I gave them $20 to put me in their book.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to take our last break. We'll be right back with more from Live from La Vie. It's Your Money in Your Life. Hang on. All right, we are back to the last segment of Live from La Vie. It's Your Money in Your Life in the home stretch with Heath Fox and Carol Oton. So, Heath, you wanted to talk about the post office a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about the post office on Wall Street and the situation there. I'm sure many of your listeners would like a little update on that. And your listeners will recall that we've been working on this for about 18 months, mm-hmm. trying to keep the post office in the village open since the Postal Service first announced they were going to close it. Mm-hmm. And we've kept it open. It is open, and so that's a good success. And the other good success is that volunteers on our preservation committee worked the historic designation of the post office. And in January, we were successful getting the post office on the National Register of Historic Places and on the State of California Register of Historic Places. And in late June, it was placed on the City of San Diego Historic Register as well.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's important, because especially at the city level, because that's where the regulatory authority to protect it is. So the exterior, as you see it from the public right away, mm-hmm. Will be protected going forward for any new owner. The Bel Barnchano mural that's in the lobby of the post office will also be protected. And we have a lot of people on our committee who have worked very hard on this project, and a lot of support from the local community towards this. The appeal that we had to the Postal Service has been denied, and so with the listing on the three governmental registries as historic and with the appeal denied, the Postal Service is now positioned to start sale of the post office. We don't know exactly what their timeline is for that or exactly what their method is going to be for that, but whoever we feel buys, like it's pending.
But whoever buys it has to preserve the exterior as is.
They can adaptively reuse the interior for other purposes. We're hoping that there'll be an arrangement where the Postal Service can lease back the footprint of the counter service and the mailboxes and remain in that location for the benefit of the village. And that could be beneficial for everybody.
And I hope they keep the trees. It always smells so good over there. I don't know what trees those are.
So
but
that is, the post office is now one of about 130 properties of various types in La Jolla that have historic designation.
That's amazing.
And I think the post office in La Jolla is very special, mainly because, you know, we're not a separate entity from the city of San Diego, and we don't really have a, a civic center or anything like that. And through our history, the post office has kind of always served as a meeting place, a kind of a place to get together, especially in the early days. Mm-hmm. And this particular post office was built in 1935. It was one of the country's WPA projects, Work Progress Administration. So I think there's definitely, a feel in the community for wanting to save the building.
It's probably how many square feet is that? Because I know it must go.
You know, I want to say it's about 7,000 square feet, and it's two levels. And I'm glad Carol mentioned the WPA commission, because the mural inside was also a WPA commission. And Belle Barnciano, who was a great artist in her own right, was commissioned to do seven murals under the WPA program, and five of those have been lost. There are only two left. One is at the Balboa Club in Balboa Park, and the second one is at the Wall Street Post Office here in La Jolla.
Maybe somebody should contact UPS or FedEx, and maybe they can maintain the postage-type service.
If the post office could get their money back from Lance Armstrong, there'd be enough money for everyone. That's another story.
That's great. So how about writers now? Richard, we have a guest coming up next week dealing with the writers.
La Jolla Writers Conference, yeah. But I wanted to ask our guest, how La Jolla has changed dramatically. When I used to come here when I was a kid, it didn't have the international flavor that it has now. You hear all these different languages being spoken here. I mean, how is La Jolla changing? How do you see it changing as we go forward 5, 10, 20 years down the road?
Well, it has changed a lot. It has evolved from an era where there were predominantly beach cottages here, and in lots of them. I mean, we have records dating to about 1955 that shows at that time there were about 450 beach cottages left in La Jolla. Huh. And today there are some number less than 100. At that time, mid-century modernism was coming in the 20s, La Vie. The Mediterranean influences in architecture were coming in. And so you have these layers of architectural definition over time. And, architecture's been defined as a conversation between generations carried out over time. So the richness of those layers has added to the character of the community overall, and it's something we should be
very diligent in European, wouldn't you say? I mean, like all the Greeks.
I think La Jolla has always been had a European flavor to it.
Anyway, we've got to wrap it right there, but thank you so much, Heath Fox.
Thank you.
And Carol Olton, thanks for being with us. Richard, thank you.
And Daniel Barron.
And Daniel Barron and Tammy for bringing in the wine and the food. And thanks to La Vie. Thank you, Craig Blank, our co-executive. Thank you, our sound executive.
Dave Schniff for stopping by to make sure everything
was
working.
Thank you, Justin, back in the booth, for making us sound good. And also to, you did mention Dave. So, look, have a great week, everybody. We'll be back next week about the La Jolla Writers Conference. You have a great week, and we'll see you then. Hang on. Good night.